Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the promise, the gift, the love, and thank you for a heart that we can respond to you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. 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 This morning we're going to be talking about matters of the heart. We're mixing that, of course, with what we've been digesting over the last several weeks in prayer. And prayer for us is, as we've talked about, a posture. Prayer is a position. And prayer, most significantly, likely, is a matter of the heart. It's a matter of who we are and how we communicate to the Lord and what God is speaking in us and through us and how God wants to use us. And our heart has to be in tune with the Spirit of God. Our heart has to walk with the Lord. And here's the struggle, right? Our heart sometimes gets in the way. Our heart sometimes fails us. Our heart sometimes leads us astray. And we struggle with this idea that I've failed too many times, and so my heart has misled me, and this Jesus or this God that we consistently talk about praying to, I just can't do it because I know that when I talk to him, he's just judging me. I am wicked. And you're telling me that a just and righteous God wants a part of my heart? That's difficult, right? If we're honest this morning, it's difficult to compute. Probably most of us went through elementary math, and it just doesn't make sense to us that someone who loves us and we fail to love in return, how could that love be unconditional? And we also fail to compute the fact that that great, big, incredible, awesome God wants to speak to us individually as well as corporately. So this morning, as I continue to look through the idea of prayer, I wanted to look at some place within Scripture where we see a woman who is praying to the Lord, crying out to the Lord. And again, I believed even a few weeks ago that this woman who is crying out to the Lord would show us a great picture of what prayer and what a matter of the heart should look like. So if you have your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2. And as you're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 2, I want to give you some thoughts on matter of the heart. Because in 1 Samuel chapter 2, 1 Samuel, I think that the overall theme, the overarching theme is, what does the heart say? What is my heart showing? And the reason I say that is because it teaches us something valuable about prayer. It teaches us that God accomplishes his purposes through prayer. And God accomplishes his purposes in our heart. You don't believe me, you can see that theme throughout 1 Samuel. We see in 1 Samuel 1:13 that when Hannah is praying, it's a matter of the heart. And it says, Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. And that's going to kind of frame our Bible study for this morning. But you can go on and look in 1 Samuel. Hannah sings a song of praise. And she begins by saying, my heart rejoices in the Lord. And then we see in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35, when God sends a prophet to judge the house of Eli, he says, I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and mind, says the Lord. And then we see in 1 Samuel 13, 14, now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. What is it about? It's a matter of the heart. And then, of course, we all know this. We've read this. If you've been in any vacation Bible school, if you've been in church for any length of time, you know that 1 Samuel chapter 16, we see that when the prophet comes in to find a new king for the nation of Israel, and he goes through several men, and he gets what we see. It says, the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider the appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. And he's talking about men who have been brought before him. And it says that the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord, he looks at the heart. Can I just say this morning that I'm thankful that God does not look at my outward appearance, and I don't know sometimes if I'm that thankful that God can see my heart, because I, like everybody else, struggle with matters of the heart. I don't believe that there's a person in here who has it all together. And if you have it all together, please see me after the service. I want to pick your brain. We all have issues. The best among us has issues, and those issues are shown in our heart. And when we tune our heart to the Lord, we respond by communicating with the Lord, and that communication is called prayer. And that communication is something that we have been emphasizing and pushing and trying to stretch us and help us to understand that we can't truly live as Christians should live if we are not willing to communicate to a heavenly Father. And so we'll look at this again. We understand that God looks at the heart. And we're going to look this morning as we apply the story of Hannah. We're going to look deep within our own heart. Understand that when we corporately look at this message this morning, the incredible thing about the scripture is that it is speaking individually to us. And I want you to know that when we are talking, what we're talking about this morning, I'm not preaching at you or to you. I am sharing the word among family. And everything that's said this morning is not just to you, it's for me as well. And that's what happens when I prepare weekly for these messages. I find myself being convicted about my own life and how God is using my own life and what God wants to do in my own life. And I believe that is relevant for the people of God. So I'm going to be using the entire story of 1 Samuel chapter 1 with Hannah. But I want to just give us, because the story is a little lengthy, I'll give us some feedback on that. But I want to read from 1 Samuel chapter 2, and we'll read verse 1 and 2 together. So stand for the reading of God's word. Then we'll ask God to bless it, and we'll apply his word together. It says this, "Then Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There's no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God.'" God, we pray just a blessing over the reading of your word. God, I pray that we will not get comfortable of body, but God, we will be alert in spirit to receive your word and to apply your word together. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So as we apply the word, what we see is Hannah rejoicing in the Lord after what we see an episode of her placing herself at the complete mercy of God himself. And so the story goes, as you know, you see this story, you've known this story, that Hannah was a wife, and whenever the day came, Elkanah took sacrifice, and we see Elkanah, who now has a wife, and he's taken another wife. And then as that story continues, we see that wife has made issue with Hannah. And I'm going to read and just kind of pick up in verse 6 of chapter 1, and it says this, "And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her." So we see a woman, Hannah, who's not able to have children. And the scripture says specifically that God has closed her womb. What we understand that when God does something, he does it for a reason. Okay? When God works in our life, even when we don't like it, he does it for a reason. And most likely those reasons happen to be so that we can draw closer to the Lord. And so what does she do? She does respond in kind like we do for a while. Okay, as we continue to read, it says in verse 7, This went on year after year. When Hannah went up to the house of Israel, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. So Elkanah had taken another wife, Peniel, and that wife continued to provoke Hannah, and it broke the heart of Hannah, because Hannah believed, as did the Old Testament days believe, that bearing children was the sign of true womanhood. To be a mother was the sign of true womanhood. And so Hannah had placed all of her trust and her excitement in the idea of providing children for her husband. And because she was unable to do that, the second wife, Peniel, continued to provoke her, continued to irritate her. And so what we see first off in this scripture is that Hannah was a pained woman. Now, when I bring this character up in scripture, I believe that there are parallels for us to follow here. And I want you to know that I believe with my whole heart that every single one of us have faced situations in our life where we were extremely pained. If you have not faced a situation where extreme pain came, I want you to know, and I'm not trying to be funny, and I'm not even trying to irritate you, it will come. It will come. We will all face situations where we have real struggles. And we see in verse 6 that Peniel ridiculed Hannah. Hannah experienced ridicule. Now, I want to just say for a moment that this was a woman, Hannah, who was continuing to seek after the Lord. She was wanting to do what God wanted her to do. And being ridiculed by her rival was an extremely difficult thing to deal with. Let's bring that in parallel to current day. Do you have people in your life that ridicule you? Have you had times in your life where you really struggled to do the right thing? You really wanted to present yourself the best possible way that you could? And there are those peoples, we call them in current day haters, those people who just for whatever reason don't want you to succeed. I guess it's just me. You're a deadpan. It's like you don't want to reveal that each one of us have those type of people in our lives. And by the way, I think we should go ahead and acknowledge right now that maybe you are that person to other people. I know that does not sound good in church. I know that, no, I would never be a pain to anybody else. I don't want to be, but I know that I am. I don't want to be, but I confess that I have been. I will tell you, I have never in my life that I remember been intentionally ugly to someone. I cannot remember that. But I'm going to tell you right now, there have been times. There have been times because maybe I wasn't paying attention. Maybe I wasn't doing the right thing. Maybe I just didn't notice it because my heart was wicked. But Hannah, in this particular situation, is dealing with difficult ridicule as she continues to try to do the right thing. And I know you have your deadpan face on, and I know I can't get you to clap like Nathan did, which, by the way, just quick side note, it's ugly, Nathan, for you to get us to clap on 2 and 4 and then sing it with syncopations in it. That's just not right. That's not right. And if you don't know those musical terms, don't worry about that. But that was a great joke, by the way. Great. There are times when we face ridicule and it's harsh and we don't want to. What happens? We see Hannah is probably angry with Peniel, no question about that. But then, let's face it, she's likely angry with the Lord. And I think sometimes we think that that's sacred ground. I've had people in my office, even recently, that spent time talking about how they were angry with the Lord because they felt like they haven't heard from the Lord, or maybe there was a situation that they struggled with and they didn't feel like the Lord helped them. And my response maybe is not pastoral to you, but what I responded was, if you are truly angry with the Lord, I'm okay with that because that shows me that you have true faith. I mean, if I had no faith and didn't believe in the Lord, why would I be angry with the Lord? But we see Hannah really struggling. In verse 6, the Hebrew word sarah, used for Peniel, means a woman of trouble, a troubler. And I would just say to each one of us, though you have played that role, you do not want to be a troubler. You want to be someone who speaks kindness and gentleness and love on behalf of the Lord. But we see her as well have a real burden, a burden where she will cry out to the Lord in just a moment. Cry out to the Lord for relief. Cry out to the Lord to see his will and his power at work. And I'm asking you this morning, when is the last time that you had a burden for the Lord? Not that coming to the church is not a good thing. It is a good thing. But too many times we come into the church and we do the church game, we play the church game, and we're not changed. And maybe you think, well, that's your responsibility. You're supposed to change us. That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to worship the Lord through the week and present some of that to you, that the Lord might change us as we respond to him. Hannah experienced ridicule. Hannah also experienced some resentment. Here's what happens in this resentment. We see that as we continue to read from verse 8, Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Where are you? Why are you downtrodden? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" And I'm thinking, oh gosh. Oh man. I've seen this in my office before. I've seen this in my own home before. Another guy who just doesn't get it. Ugh. "Aren't I enough, woman? And all we need to do, men, is be quiet and love. That's it. That's free, by the way." Hannah's brokenhearted, and what's going to happen? We see a man trying to fix things. We see a man trying to fix things. And by the way, we believe, as we read through Scripture, that Elkanah loved his wife. He gave her double portions of this acrimonious meal. We see that. We know he loved his wife, as do most men who put their feet, both feet, in their mouth when responding to their spouses. She experienced real resentment. And there are times, folks, when we just apply this for all of us, there are times when things are said, things are done, and we just can't fix it. Men, sometimes you just cannot fix it. Ultimately, what do we need more of? The Lord. The Lord. And by the way, we don't need to just say, they need the Lord. You have a problem with somebody? They need Jesus. When you have a problem with somebody, what you ought to be saying is, we need Jesus in this situation. We need Jesus in this situation. Hannah was a pain woman. She was also, no question, a praying woman. And so what we see in verse 13, she begins to pray. And when she goes to pray, Eli, one of the priests who is sitting there, looks at her, and the picture is basically this, and you can read it for yourself, but as Hannah begins to pray, she begins to pray like this. And Eli, seeing her move her mouth and nothing come out of it, makes another male mistake. What does he say? "Woman, you're drunk. What is the matter with you? You've got to get over this. You got to take care of this." And by the way, again, as a man, I know this wholeheartedly, that there are times, even when I'm not trying to fix something, that I say something to a troubled woman and I say the wrong thing. That's what's going on here. But it's even broader than that, right? There are times when people get on their knees before the Lord and we think, what's wrong with them? I wonder what's happening to them. Something really must be going on. Or maybe you use this altar as a place of prayer, as we have pleaded with you to do over the last several weeks, and you don't want to come to the altar because you are afraid that in the circumstances that people will think that something's wrong with you. You know what? Forget that. Forget that. What about your heart and how you respond to the Lord? It's a matter of the heart. And there are times when our heart must follow our actions. And our actions, many times, must follow a position of before the Lord. Remember, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. There is a great, great difference between our hands and our posture being here. And for me, it's about 60 inches and my posture being here. This is me. I can do it on my own. This is, Lord, I cannot do it on my own. This is you. There's a great, great big difference and me standing before the Lord and then me getting on my knees before the Lord because I want to put myself at the mercy of the Lord. And I'm not saying that it's completely the physical posture, but sometimes our physical posture needs to lead our spiritual posture. Too many times we go before the Lord with kind of, hey, he's my buddy. And hey, buddy, I need you to do something for me. And we spend time praying when we need something. And really what we need to be doing is responding to a holy God. Hannah was a praying woman. This prayer obviously was personal. What is she praying for? She's praying that God would give her a child. She's praying in dire need and in dire circumstance that God would fulfill her request, that God would show his power in her request. We see Hannah as she responds to the Lord saying, I am your servant. We see Hannah as she responds even to Eli the priest as, I am your servant. Hannah's praying was personal. She had a personal relationship with God. I'm asking you this morning, not in a judgmental way, but in a self-reflective way, is your relationship with God, is your prayer and communication relationship with God a very personal one? Not saying necessarily private, because we are a community together, but is it personal? Do you have a deep and abiding faith? And if you don't, that faith can and will grow as you pray. I will tell you this, though, your faith will not grow if you do not pray. And I'm not saying that if you do this, this will happen. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I am saying to you this, if you do not pray, nothing will happen. We see Hannah as she prays, that she's portrayed in the Old Testament as the most pious woman in the Old Testament, religious woman. Her prayer is among the longest recorded in all of the Old Testament, man or woman. She, as she prays, utters the word Yahweh 18 times. This is the first recorded prayer of a woman from the Old Testament. And she is praying that God will show up so that she can feel like she is accomplishing womanhood. There's a lot to learn. I don't mean this just from men to women, and I don't mean this funny at all. I really don't. There's a lot to learn from a woman. A lot to learn from a woman. Some of the greatest influences in my life have been women. And those aren't small influences. That wasn't like some woman taught me to mind my manners, though that's certainly acceptable. I'm talking about my faith. I'm talking about Sunday school teachers who poured into me. I'm talking about Bible drill teachers who poured into me. I'm talking about college professors who poured into me. I'm talking about women in this church who continue to teach the pastor what love truly is. I'm talking about my own family, my wife and my children teaching me what love is. Hannah's prayer was personal, and it was also persistent. It continued to go on and on and on and on. Here's the problem with American Christianity. We get heartbroken about something. We have a burden for something, and we pray for it that one time, and we expect something better happen. I prayed about it. Again, if we go to Matthew chapter 7, we see this idea of continually, persistently begging in prayer. That's the kind of prayer that Highland Baptist Church needs for its community. That's the kind of prayer that Highland Baptist Church needs for its congregation. That's the kind of prayer that Highland Baptist Church needs for this country and the world. We don't need to be a place that's consistently judgmental. Leave judging to the Lord. We are in a very critical time in our country where it seems like we judge everything. I'm going to tell you the problem with our country, and it is not our politics, it's sin. The more we have gotten and the easier it has gotten on us, why has it not made our life easier? Because we are enticed by sin. Our country and certainly even the church of the people of God have taken prayer and said, well, set that aside. I don't really have time anymore. I'm too busy sinning. I know you don't think about it like that. I know you don't think about it like that because we all think ourselves as truly better than we ought. The problem in this country is sin, and until the churches around the world realize that and get on their face before the Lord, it will not change. Hannah was a praising woman. We see that she was persistent in that prayer. We see that in verse 11 she goes to the Lord. We see that in verse 17 she goes to the Lord, and then she makes a vow to the Lord that says, if I just have a child, that Samuel, I will give over to you. I will give you, Lord, my child. I will make a vow that my child will be in your presence. And it says that God honored her request. We see that honoring her request. We see that God remembered Hannah's prayer. The word remembered in the Old Testament is a significant word. When it says God remembered, and remember what we just read just a few moments ago, Hannah is asking God to remember her. And then when God remembers her, what we see, that word is usually kind of signifying that God's going to do something big, that God's going to do something great, that God remembered her and he honored her request. It's a verb when the Lord is the subject. That remembered, the Lord remembered, it signifies or suggests an initiating of a major new activity. And we see that God remembered Hannah's prayer. I want you to know that the same God that remembered Hannah's prayer is the same God that we worship today. He's the same God that remembers us when we pray. And she praised the Lord. Verse 1 and 2 that we read, going back to that full circle, it says that she praise the Lord for her salvation in verse 1. She praised the Lord for his holiness. She praised the Lord for his faithfulness, for his power, for his compassion, for his presence and his future victories. For his present and future victories, Hannah's words still today move people to pray. Finally, what we see, and I want to be careful about how I present this, that God not only remembered her, but he rewarded Hannah's prayer. And the reason I want to be careful about this is because I think sometimes we, as the people of God, look at this as some kind of formula, some kind of way of, if I do A, then God will definitely do B. If I do this, God will definitely do this. There's some kind of formula you got to follow, and if you follow that formula, then God's definitely going to grant your request, and that's not the way it is. Let me tell you what happens when you pray. You're asking for God to change a circumstance, and ultimately what God is doing is he's changing you. Some of us don't like that because we're like, I did not begin this prayer by asking God to change me. You know why you didn't ask God to change you? Because you can't see it in yourself. You can't see the sin issue within yourself. So when we pray, God changes things. When we come to the Lord, he changes things. Two great events occurred in Hannah's life. She had a child because God remembered her, and she gave over that child, Samuel, completely dedicated to the Lord. God accomplishes his purposes through prayer. So let me just try to make three quick sentence type applications. Number one, pray for people. I believe that the church in so many ways has failed on their responsibility to pray for people. The church is in the people business. Our office is filled with people all the time. Our churches are filled with people all the time who have real struggles, real dire needs. And many times you can't do anything about it except pray. Folks, we need you to pray. Secondly, learn to find comfort in prayer. Do you have struggles? Do you have issues? Are there things in your life that you have prayed for and you just haven't gotten the results that you wanted? Learn to find comfort in prayer. And then finally, pray ultimately that God's will be done. That God's will be done. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, provide us what we need. Sustain us with what we need. But God, ultimately, your will certainly for our wants should be done. So this morning as we close, I'm asking you, even as we look over 1 Samuel chapter 1 and we see a hurt, we see a struggle, we see the power of prayer and we see the power of God changing through that prayer, it's my prayer that you are motivated to call on the name of the Lord, that you are motivated to walk with the Lord in prayer. And sometimes perhaps you can't pray, you feel like you can't pray because you've never given your life to the Lord. Today's a perfect day. How do you give your life to the Lord? How do you become a Christian? You admit that you're a sinner. You believe in God and you confess. You admit that you've done wrong. You ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to take over. And that doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. But it does mean that you're going to begin a new walk, a new relationship. And trust me, things will change. If you've never given your life to Jesus, today's a perfect day to do it. You're looking for a church home and you're looking for the perfect church, you have come to the wrong place. We are not a perfect church, but we are a church that's seeking after the Lord together. And then I'm asking you, as I have the last several weeks, and I know that maybe you think this is redundant, but I'm asking you, family, friends, people of the Lord, put yourself at the altar in the posture of reverence of the Lord and pray that God will change things. Ultimately, know that you're praying that God will change you. Forget what other people think. Will you pray? Lord, we pray that even as we come to this point of time in the service, that we reflect on who you are and how good you are. God, I pray that we would respond in kind. God, I pray that we would be a people of prayer, that we would spend time thinking and considering the needs of others, that we'd take time thinking and considering what your will is. And God, that we would be able to respond. There are hurts in our community. There are hurts in our immediate location in this place right now. I pray we'd be a people of prayer. God, ultimately, I pray that we would, even this morning, pray for our own hearts, that we would be able to identify the areas that have not been pleasing to you because you have shown that, you've revealed that, and God, that we would change that. We're going to sing, God. We're going to sing your praise. We're going to respond to you. It's a matter of the heart this morning. So God, we give you our heart. Do with it what you will. Would you stand together? People praying. People coming to this altar to pray. If you need to even come this morning dedicating your life to the Lord, you come as we sing. We'll sing a couple of songs. There's no rush here. We're just responding to Jesus. If you need to come, I'm asking you to come. You follow the Lord's leadership. You come as we sing.